Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check those group chats. That's a fun thing we do from time to time. What's everybody saying in the group chat? All right, this is
a lot of swearing and some of the responses.
What are the cleanest ones I can get?
Both sides of the ball are playing terrible. People have sent us screenshots. Evan's got one. I started coming around to McDermott the first few games. Thought maybe he learned some hard lessons. Was keeping injured defense in good shape, but he needs to be fired after today. And won't happen, but holy bleep, he was colossally brutal today. It is a miracle they kept the game that close with an offense that bad.
Yeah. Worse than the league. That week. Last week.
Yesterday. More.
My group chat. The cleanest I got is right before the kick. Ain't no way Sam Martin's kicking this to the 50. This game is over.
Sam Martin catching strays here.
Yeah.
Mine, let me see if I got one of mine and what's going on the group chat here. We got a, can we get Diggs back?
Yeah.
Would you take Gabe Davis?
This game ended when they got the ball at the 13 and didn't score a touchdown.
I mean, that was incredible too. They had four possessions in the fourth quarter and didn't complete a pass.
Yeah.
803-0550, our phone number.
I got a good one from one of my buddies. Everybody eats was a marketing slogan.
Yep. Well, that's for sure. That was definitely a PR campaign, and it does not appear to have much substance behind it. 803-0550. I, in the break, of course, like a normal person, searched a 2025 NFL mock draft. You know,
come on.
It's a normal thing to do.
You're just going to make yourself more upset when the Bills are drafting like a safety again. Running back.
I'll have you know.
Boise State running back.
He went
best of all time, maybe saying.
He went 24th to the Cowboys.
Okay.
They do have the Bills projected to pick 29th in this.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Might not be looking so good. I think this is a little bit old. When was this posted?
They could pick 29th still.
That's the AFC.
No one else is good.
That's the AFC Championship game.
I don't even know if Houston's good. Houston's 4-1 yesterday. Anyone that impressed by them yesterday?
Yes.
I don't know.
They lost Nico Collins. Okay, you're right. This is only 3 days old. Anyway, 29th. What do I do when I look at a mock draft? This is the earliest I've done it. No, it's not. I probably did one last week, too. I'm like, all right, how many receivers are there? There's Tyrell McMillan. There's Luther Burden going 17th. Okay, maybe get up to 17th for Luther Burden.
And Buka from...
Emeka Egbuka is not in this first round.
Wow.
Okay. Maybe he's but in this, they did have Evan Stewart, wide receiver, going to Baltimore, and Isaiah Bond, wide receiver, going to Kansas City. And the Bills take, I'm sorry, it says defensive back. Okay, to the phones.
Defensive back.
All right, got to replace Rasul Douglas. Brian in Williamsville. Hey, Brian.
Yes, I wanted to say Josh Allen is doing the defense no favors. Running the ball actually a little bit more than throwing it. If you have to throw it, fine, I can live with it. But then the second half, they should have gone back and forth and said, you know what, the defense is already banged up. Let's chuck it a little bit more. If we have to run it, great. We can run it, take some time off the clock, keep your defense from being out there where they're so banged up and so nicked up. It's unbelievable. And I don't blame you for looking at the mock draft right now. I mean, Sean McDermott is part of the problem where you can't just go ahead and fire your OC almost every year. So I think he might have to go because he's firing his OC almost every year.
Thanks, Brian. The Bills were the run-heaviest team in the league this week.
Yep.
Neutral situations.
Neutral situation. No team was more committed to running than the Bills this week.
I'll have to look. They were under 40%. There was probably a game at the end of last year where that's true, but I bet not for a long time before that. Under 40% is a low number.
Here's the problem that they have on offense right now, though. You tell me they're run heavy, and I think, well, what's the alternative? They can't pass it right now.
Right.
Teams have no respect for their players, especially with Shakir out. So they were the run heaviest team. I mean, I just feel like there's so many missteps along the way to get you to where you are now. Worth pointing out about, I don't know, do I want to make this point? Whatever, it's Diggs Day. When Diggs left Minnesota, he was right.
Yes, he was. He was right about he thought
they were going to turn the clock back. They were going to go run heavy, and he was right. And that guy got fired, and now they've got a great coach in Kevin O'Connell.
Yep.
Diggs was right about wanting to leave Minnesota. Diggs leaves Buffalo. Was he right? Did he not like the direction of the offense? It's too early. The point is, though, like they don't have a good passing game. We know that.
Yeah.
All this stuff about how, well, offense is down around the league. Not last week. Week five, highest scoring week of the season.
It's trickling back.
Offense is coming back.
Yeah. Slowly. It's not like nuts,
This week was the highest points per drive, yards per play, highest rate of 10-plus yard plays, highest rate of 20-plus yard plays. Explosive plays are coming back. And the Bills' playoff game against Kansas City lives in my head because this game here we just had was a good look at it. Really limited on explosive plays, running the ball quite a bit, and then Josh going for bigger plays than are required on that 2nd and 10, going for the deep shot to Mac Hollins. That's the same as going for Shakir instead of throwing to Diggs when that was the right play. Like we get a lot about McDermott on game management, but Allen on game management sometimes leaves a little to be desired.
And it's years of inaction on your wide receiver core.
Yes, of course.
I just saw a stat, like, how many opportunities you've had. Jaden Reed was, what, a second-round pick a couple years ago? Jaden Reed. Third player in Super Bowl era to have at least 400 receiving yards and 100 rushing yards in the first five games of a season. Guy was a second-round pick like 2 years ago. You could just had him.
Oh, yeah.
And he's amazing.
Listen, go back to...
It's not just him. There are 15 examples of that.
It's 3 years in a row that they have taken a pass catcher in the first two rounds. They've done that.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is they did it at running back first.
Right.
And said, think of him as a wide receiver. No. Then they did it at tight end and said, think of him as a receiver. No. And then they took Keon Coleman, which that's fine. But in the richest receiver class ever, they traded down, took one, and then they were done.
And I don't even, like, that's part of it. It was too late. It's too late. The timing doesn't work on it. Where Coleman, I like that they finally got around to doing it. They drafted Coleman in the second round. It was 2 years too late because you need him right now.
Yeah.
You need Coleman to produce, and it's not fair to expect that from him because he's a rookie. You need Keon Coleman right now to be year three, Keon Coleman. Year two at least. And instead, I have the rookie because they waited until after Diggs was going to be gone to draft the guy rather than have the guy already integrated in the offense, have a year under his belt, and then be ready to explode as a veteran, not a veteran, but someone that has NFL experience. Instead, the timing on when you need a Keon Coleman to step in and be critical for you, first down on a critical series at the end of the game, where's the ball going? To him. But he's a rookie. We're 2 years too late, 3 years too late, at least 1 year too late on when they made that investment in that specific position.
Larry in South Florida. Good morning, Larry. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, no problem, guys. As you know, I've been calling you guys for years, and obviously Jeremy a lot longer than Joe, and even before Jeremy, Howard and Jim Brinson back when they used to do the live camp. So that's how long I've been calling this and observing this team, and it's so obvious, it's so clear to me that we have ignored the wide receiver position for so long, other than giving up, giving Minnesota our first round pick to get Jefferson. And we got Diggs, who I love Diggs, trust me. But we have also gave up a first and a fourth. And we have all this draft capital for next year. But now that second pick, it looks like it's going to be a late second round pick instead of a high second round pick because it's Minnesota's. So once again, we have a wide receiver problem. And to me, it's so obvious of what's going on with this team. Sean McDermott, and we said this after the 13-second game, could be, in this time, such a bad game manager of time with his defensive timeouts that he constantly takes and wastes timeouts. And even in that 13-second game, Mahomes afterwards interviewed and said, if he didn't do that, I was just going to run around and play junkyard ball because we had no clue what we were going to do. We are in shock. And then when he took those two timeouts, it gave us time to plan. Now, again, obviously, who got fired? Special teams coordinator got fired. Well, the special teams coordinator isn't the one that set the defense. They are not the ones that decided to take away the sideline and leave the middle of the field wide open and play 20 yards off what their best wide receivers. Right then and there, I thought that should have been it. But here, this game, you get the ball on the 3-yard line with 32 seconds to go, and you choose to do what you did and thinking, well, they're going to take the 3 timeouts anyway. Great. Let them. It takes a little bit longer in a running play than it does a passing play. And then when they get the ball, they have no timeout. So to me, that's another Sean McDermott loss, and a huge loss. And to ignore the wide receivers when I think it was 4 years ago, they drafted Greg Rousseau in round 1 when we desperately needed more wide receivers.
It wasn't Rousseau the problem. Boogie Basham is round 2.
Yeah. Right,
they took 2 of them.
Point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my point. To follow it up with Boogie Basham, who's no longer with the Bills, and you had all those receivers to choose from. And last year, all the receivers to choose from. And then this year, we wait and move down to get Keon Coleman. Look what some of these other speed separators are doing, and we are desperate. Allen continually throws sideline passes like you guys were talking about. Well, Cook just got his foot in.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why has Cook got to get his foot in bounds if we start throwing over the middle? We don't have to worry about that. And the other thing I see is we don't have timing with anyone other than Shakir or chemistry with anyone other than Shakir because they're not getting targets, gentlemen. When you get 2 to 3 targets a game, where are we going to get this timing? Well, we can't because we don't have receivers that can separate. We don't have guys that we're using properly. Samuel has speed. Put him in the slot. Put him over the middle. But we have all these guys that do the same thing. It is time for me, and I know this is not going to happen because I don't feel this is really Brandon Bean's team. I actually think Bean is better than McDermott, and I agree with you. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a great defensive coach, but I don't think he's great when it matters the most. If I'm Bean, I know this is not going to happen. This is my dream. I go into Pegula's office today, and I said, look, you guys got to get rid of him, or I'm resigning at the end of the year. I know that's a pipe dream. I know it's not going to happen. But you have to do something. There has to be a change. And if we don't get quality wide receiver in next year's draft, and I mean first round, and then again, I don't care if you do it in the second or third round. I've had enough of us drafting DBs and the whole defense when, yeah, we did get Cyrus Torrence the second round 2 years ago or first round? Yeah, that was a really good pick. Who cares? Allen needs receivers. We can't beat Cincinnati even though they're 1-4. We won't beat them. We won't beat Baltimore. We will not beat Kansas City unless we make a major change. And I think the major change has to be McDermott. I think he needs to go. He should have been gone 4 or 5 years ago. That's again, just my opinion, and I appreciate you guys letting me vent.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, I'm thinking about how you could go back and revisit all the former draft picks of Boogie Basham. I mean, this team has spent two-thirds and a second on running backs, right? Singletary and Moss and Cook. Two-thirds and a second on three running backs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not good use of assets. And when it was Cook, I really truly believed that year they probably would have taken somebody like Sky Moore or whoever went in that second round. But the board didn't fall their way. They traded down twice and they took Cook. And the Kincaid pick still, I remember the first time I, you know, the first person I saw that didn't like the Kincaid pick, I forget who it was, but somebody like maybe Dalton Dildon, somebody Yahoo, maybe Matt Harmon, about Dawson Knox can catch the ball. He's a fine tight end. He's not terrible. You already had a guy that catches the ball at the tight end position.
That was paid.
That was paid, right. And now with Kincaid, like, think about the net gain on that. What is the net gain from Kincaid? You get Kincaid's production, and you get Dawson Knox being nothing. He's gone. So
yeah, right. He's irrelevant. He's on pace for 102 yards.
When you add
102 yards, and he gets paid $10 million per year.
It's
102 yards.
It was an odd choice at the time. It kind of remains odd. And every time we talk about the pass catchers or the receivers, people want to say like, oh, I think it's actually a good group because you got to include Kincaid. Like, even if I do now. I mean, Kincaid,
I need him to pop off a lot more than he is for that to be a worthy explanation. I think he's fine. He needs to be better than fine, though. You know, what are his skills supposed to be? He's good yards after catch for a tight end. But he's not George Kittle, I don't think, in that way. I thought his number one asset is the dude supposed to catch everything that's around him. And there's a couple plays yesterday where those are catchable. I need those to be catches. Not because they're easy, they're hard. There's one where he's turning and kind of stumbling and an out route, but the ball's there and it hits him in the arm and it's incomplete. I need that to be a catch, even though it's difficult, from Dalton Kincaid. The one along the sideline where he bobbles it, and maybe it was a catch, maybe it wasn't. I don't think it would have been overturned. Whatever. I need that to be a clean catch because that's the stuff Kincaid's supposed to be expert at. If he's not going to be, and he's just going to be a pretty good tight end, that pick does not look good. The only way that pick looks good is if he's like one of the five best tight ends in football. And I'm sorry, right now he does not look like one of the five best tight ends in football.
Well, he's supposed to be matchup problem, right? That was always it.
Defenses look like they don't care.
That's right. And when they made the pick, for me, the answer was, what would happen if they played the Bills? The answer is they would stay in nickel and not care. And then have somebody cover him. And for a guy that's, if he is a matchup nightmare, then that flies in the face of, well, it's important that everybody eats. No, if this guy's a matchup nightmare, make sure he's getting the ball a lot. 10 targets a game. Is he good enough to get 10? Can you scheme him 14?
Or just can he get open for 14 in general? That's the year two where don't we think they... Well, I don't know. I don't know if we know. They would have picked a receiver if one was there, if Addison had fell or Flowers had fell, whatever.
Yeah. Jamie in Ontario. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, good morning. Big Bills fan and Sabres fan. I don't know if you guys discussed it already about Cole Bishop. I bought his jersey thinking all the hype. I know he's a second-round draft pick. He's a rookie. But I was really, really disappointed in the way he played yesterday. He's just not able to make the tackles early in the first half. And with that Nico Collins touchdown, I know it was Douglas was the man, but he's running back, but he's not able to contribute. So he's not even getting back. So what he's just in, to me, he's just in no man's land. I know he's a rookie, but I don't know if Rapp's injury or if there's anybody else they could bring in for him. But I thought he really struggled. Just want to get your thoughts on it.
He at least, it's that one play.
Yeah, he blew one play big time, for sure.
I assume that it was on him. It looked like it was on him. When you watch the playback, Douglas turned right around after it happened, which would imply the same thing. How'd he played otherwise? I mean, I didn't really notice him give up any big gaff, but I mean, that job is you can't have it. Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer didn't let a single play like that happen in 6 years. 6 years. So when it happens even once, I mean, that's enough for it to be remembered for a season.
Yeah, after that play, it was maybe Brett Coleman. Yeah, Brett Coleman of Underdog Fantasy. He wrote, I feel like not having an elite safety pairing is killing this Bills defense a lot more than people realize. Almost all of their problems this year can be traced back to not having the baddest duo in the league anymore. what they had, and you know, we all wrote their obituary that they were slow and lost a step, and that's not necessarily wrong. But when they had those two guys firing on all cylinders, they had, of course, like Micah Hyde was a freak athlete, Jordan Poyer was an all-pro. Like, they had two guys that, you know, the two of them might as well have worked as one, and it was dominant for 6 years, 7 years. And Bishop going in there, I mean, he's a rookie. It happens. Unfortunately, it does. Joe in Seattle. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to talk about something new a little bit. A drive where, after the turnover, the defense got there at the 13-yard line or whatever, and Allen comes running out of the 10. What are your thoughts on maybe calling a timeout there instead of letting Trubisky take that first down play? Because you automatically know it's a run. I feel like it was just a lost play, right? So,
yeah.
Or maybe let Mitch throw the ball. The guy, he was a first overall pick, was he not?
Second. Yeah. Well, thanks, Joe. I mentioned this earlier, though.
I would not have done that.
Having Trubisky, having Trubisky hand the ball is what Josh would have done anyway. On first down,
yeah,
they hand the ball off. That's what this team does.
Right.
This team handed off on 20 of 26 first downs.
So it was 100% that they were going to run that play.
Oh,
with Trubisky especially.
It was only 100, huh? What was it with Josh in there? 89?
89, yeah. Yeah.
Series success rates.
Imagine if they had run play action Trubisky to the end zone.
They started 20 of their series with a run and 6 with a pass. And one of the passes was the final series.
It was
20-5.
What? It's almost amazing the swing in 2 weeks from Joe Brady is a witch through three games. Look what he just did to Jacksonville. Look what he did to Miami. We're feeling great. Dorsey was here a long time. It could just be recency bias. I'll admit that up front. I don't know that I remember 2 weeks in a row feeling this poorly about their offensive coordinator.
Dorsey beat the brakes off Miami in week 3 last year, and within 2 weeks it was about this bad. They went to Jacksonville, and then the Giants game. Like, it went south fast.
But what it was it more though? Man, they just don't look right.
Yes.
More than this is like
no, that's
this
right.
is glaring stuff. This is a trick play that blew up as much as anything you've ever seen. What are you doing to the three plays at the end of the game? Maybe that's the difference. The difference is you have 4 plays that I can eliminate everything else and just look at 4 plays and look at what in the world is Joe Brady doing.
So last year, after beating Miami 48-20, they go to London and lose to Jacksonville. And what are they? Asleep at the wheel for 3/4 of the game.
And then they pile it up in garbage time.
And then the next game is the Giants. They're down
14.
6-0 at home.
Yeah, right.
The next game is New England.
Mm-hmm.
Asleep for the entire first half. They rally to take the lead, and Mac Jones beats them.
Yep.
Then Tampa, a game they win.
Yeah.
Then Cincinnati, score 18. Then Denver, lose on the kick. Like, so after beating Miami, the Bills went 2-4.
So it did,
and their wins were the Giants and the Bucks.
Okay, so it did turn.
It turned
quickly.
It turned quick.
So maybe the only difference is these are glaring plays that we're pinning in on, rather than the overall as much.
Yeah, you never.
You still can go after the overall though.
You never had a 9-for-30.
You didn't have a 9-for-30, and you didn't. Yeah, you didn't have a 9-for-30. That's really it. No, no one's had 9-for-30.
No, it was one of the worst
in 1992.
Yeah. Tough. Bad day. Just go beat the Jets. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. You can give us a call and we can chat about it. The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is coming up top of the hour.
I'm going to that Jets game.
Monday?
I'm going Monday. I am going Monday. No one will be happy walking in. Only one group of fans will be happy leaving.
Let's hope.
It's going to feel, if I'm walking out of that stadium
and they lose to the Jets,
being heckled by Jets fans after they've lost, that's going to feel like real they're deflating.
They're not
really bad.
They're not going to lose to the Jets. Although I would worry a little bit about Braylon Allen. He might run over a couple people. No, I'm not worried about that.
I'm not worried about the Jets. I'm worried about the Bills.
803-0550, our phone number. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.